Hey everybody, what is up? Another episode, Beers with Chad. Here I am at my house, Costa Mesa, California. Hopefully there's no stalkers out there. Now the frustrated strength coach knows where to find me. And today, in the glass right now, is a Knee Deep Brewing Company Hop Trio Triple IPA. So who knows what I may be saying by the end of this. And after that, we'll get to this Silesian Kappa IPA, which is a bit of a newer one. I like the Space Dust and Immortal IPA, so I figured I'd give this one a shot. It's a bit of a newer one. So we just got back from Australia on Sunday. Headed off to New York tomorrow. It's a busy time of the year for the travel. And Australia was great. You know, I think it was my fifth time over there in the last about 3.5 years. First time GPA Worlds in 2014, which is the first time I broke a 2300 total. And I've gone back fifth time since that. Competed there four times. Just really enjoy Australia. Unfortunately, this time we had to end up canceling our first seminar there because of some problems with our flight. So we got to, the flight over there is always rough, about 15 hours flying to Brisbane for this one. Our flight got canceled, so we ended up essentially being delayed 12 hours, which caused us to unfortunately miss our first one. But went from Brisbane for a few days, which is Marissa, my favorite city in Australia for sure, Brisbane, as well as the time we've got to spend down there on the Gold Coast. And then went from there to Canberra. Canberra is the capital of Australia, about halfway between Sydney and Melbourne. They say that they made Canberra the capital because they couldn't decide if Sydney or Melbourne should be the capital, so they just kind of split the difference. And I can't speak to the validity of that, but that's at least what Australians have told me. And I got to do two seminars there at Burley Strength with our friend Shero, John Sheridan. And Shero is always a great guy. One of our favorite people we've gotten to meet in Australia. And congrats to Shero, who I imagine by this time has a new baby. So congrats to Shero and his girlfriend. And apologies to his girlfriend that Shero wore his Chad is Rad t-shirt. Available at sword.jtsstrength.com, that he wore that to the hospital, and that will be your child's first sight ever, is a cartoon version of this. But congrats to Shero. And from there we headed over to Melbourne, and got to spend some time with our good friend Eddie Cohen. Ed is the, I think by this time, he's been to Australia so many more times than me, is maybe the de facto prime minister, or at least the mayor of Frankston. And his lovely better half, Hega. And then all the great people involved in Australian powerlifting, Imad, Marcos, all the whole gang, Gwayne. And we were there for another seminar at PTC South Melbourne. And I'll talk a little bit more about the seminar I did there in a second. And got to see Pro Raw 10. So I competed in two Pro Raws, and Pro Raw is a unsanctioned, I don't really deal with that idea because it's an annual meet, not a part of the GPC Federation that Marcos runs in Australia. So some people may call it unsanctioned, but, the fact of the matter is for powerlifting, when there's 50 or 70 or 100, however many people saying that they're sanctioning meets, well, that really means that none of them are actually sanctioned. But Pro Raw is a great meet they hold every year, and the last 3 years at the Australian Arnold. And it's just phenomenally well done, very competitive. They only have five weight classes for the men, and then I believe three or four for the women. So they kind of consolidated things to their own weight classes there for the men, 80, 95, 110, 125, and supers. And the women, I believe, is 60, I think 60, 67, 75, and 75 plus. So it really forces people into head-to-head competition, two-hour weigh-ins, good consistent judging, and there was some great lifting there. Vlad Alhazov, as many of you I'm sure have seen, squatted 505 kilos for a new world record. Odell Manuel, who, if as an American powerlifting fan, if you're not familiar with Odell, he totaled 1,090 kilos, and it was his first meet in 2 years. At this meet 2 years ago at Pro Raw 8, where I competed sans belt, sans knee wraps or sleeve, sans wrist wraps, Odell tore his quad and has been dealing with that for the past 2 years through several frustrating near comeback attempts. So to see him come back in that fashion with a 440 kilo, 970 pound squat, must have benched 245, so 540, and then finish it off with an 893, a 405 kilo deadlift. Really happy for him there because, Odell's just a great guy, and I've had the pleasure to compete against him three times, I believe. Three times over on Australia. So he's just a great guy. And Australian powerlifting culture as a whole is fantastic. If you haven't listened to the past two Jug Life episodes, or last week's Beers with Chad that I did with Shero and Thomas Lilly there in Canberra, or this week's Men from a Land Down Under episodes with Krita and Alex Deakin, make sure you go check those out. Learn some of the stuff that I think really makes Australian powerlifting great, like how they really only have two federations. They have great head-to-head competition, real states, real nationals that all their best lifters are showing up to. And I think the concept of the Pro Raw meet with the consolidated weight classes, two-hour weigh-ins, unified in the sense of, they're in mono and knee wraps. My preference would probably be combo rack and knee sleeves, but what they have, I think, could grow to a true pro powerlifting, worldwide powerlifting kind of circuit or league, and it would be a great thing. And so much of that is happening from the creativity of Marcos Markopoulos, as well as the support of powerlifting. Anyone in Australian powerlifting who knows Imad Nayef, just a phenomenal, humble, generous guy. We always enjoy the time that we get to spend with Imad. We got to check out some boxing while we were there in Melbourne. And what I was told is that we had many of the who's who of the Melbourne underworld surrounding us at the time, but still a very fun time, and we enjoy our time in Australia, and I'm sure I'll be back next year. The seminar I got to do at PTC South Melbourne, where my client Alex Deakin is the head coach, the Australian national record holder in the 90 kilo class, was the first time that I'd given this type of seminar. Normally I present on phasic structure, the principles of scientific strength training, and how to design a program from a bit more of a principle basis. And I think as much as as popular as the Scientific Principles of Strength Training book has been and our YouTube series that accompanies that, people still want a little bit more of the practical application. And that's what I tried to give in this one. And I'll be giving, refining this presentation over the next year, giving it a couple more times, and finally turning it into a book at some point. But what we did is, in this two-hour presentation, help every single person in the audience construct a personalized program for them, a personalized block of hypertrophy training, considering their gender, height, weight, strength, experience, lifestyle factors that are going to affect recovery, things like sleep, work stress, diet, drug use, all those things are going to factor into finding your MRV, and then also how those kind of individual differences applied to things like frequency, relative intensity, to actually help them construct a program by the end of it. So I was very proud of the work that went into that, and I'm looking forward to refining it further. That's pretty good. Knee Deep Hop Trio Triple IPA. This is like an 11.1 percenter. We have a great store here in Costa Mesa called High Times Liquor, High Times Wine Cellars, and we got just a giant walk-in cooler of all kind of different craft beers. So if you're in the area, check it out. If you have beer suggestions, write it in the comments of my post about this. So when we got home from Australia, mind you, we were so fucked up from the time change, especially we're very negatively affected time change wise by our canceled flight, that really, instead of flying an overnight flight to Australia, we flew during the daytime, which made the time change much, much more difficult. Coming home, we left Australia about 11 a.m. Sunday Australia time. Got home at 7 a.m. Sunday California time. So yes, that is time travel. We went 4 hours backwards. So I'm glad that Sunday was a good day because I got to live it twice. And the struggle of that was normally that flight home from Australia, I try and stay awake the first half, sleep the second half, but no luck on this one. I just stayed awake the whole time and ended up getting to stay awake for about, in an effort to better adjust to the time change and not fall asleep at 8 a.m. and be in sort of some sort of reverse kind of sleep cycle, stayed awake until 8 p.m., which at that point had made me be awake for, I think, 34 straight hours, and then sleep for 13 straight hours. So as I got home and needed to occupy my time, I, of course, had built up quite a good store of missed television shows on my DVR. So I figured some of you may wonder, what are my favorite shows? What's on my DVR? And I spent pretty much the full day watching those. So on my DVR right now, so shows that are currently on TV that I'm watching and recording. A show that just finished a couple weeks ago was the miniseries Waco on Spike, which I think is now called the Paramount Network. I thought that was really good. I was pretty young when the Waco stuff happened, so I always knew about it, but didn't have a good understanding of it. Certainly what I had seen previous to that, other documentaries and everything, was a bit more pro-government. This seemed to be much more favorable to painting David Koresh in a good light, but I don't know what the truth was, but a well-acted, interesting, like, six-episode miniseries, so that one was really good. I have The Assassination of Gianni Versace, which is on FX. That one is, in the same vein of this sort of the O.J., the people versus O.J. Simpson, same people who produced that and everything. The Gianni Versace one maybe is a little bit better acted. The guy who plays the murderer, Andrew Cunanan, seems like he's doing a really good job of being like a pretty creepy, crazy serial killer dude. So that one's a good watch. I loved the O.J. one last year. The people versus O.J. Simpson. I grew up in Southern California. I was eight years old when the murders happened and the whole car chase and all that. And then, 9 years old as the trial went on. And I remember, being an eight-year-old kid and all this stuff is happening on the news and my parents being like, "Oh, you gotta watch this. This is history happening right in front of you." And the first time that he was spotted during the slow speed white Bronco chase was actually on Irvine Center Boulevard, which is in my hometown, Irvine, California. And so kind of crazy to think that it was happening just down the street as we were watching this on TV. But after, 10 or 20 minutes, I had the attention span of an eight-year-old. And, I knew that O.J. Simpson was a football player, but that was about it. I'd seen him in the Naked Gun movies. So I was like, I'm bored of this. I don't want to watch it anymore. And then a year later, 9, 10 months later, as the trial went on and on and on, all my impression of the events were at the time was like, why is this thing on TV when I come home? Like, they're bumping Saved by the Bell to put this OJ trial on. Like, what the hell is that? So at the time, it just kind of pissed me off. But now, you know, as an adult, as a 31-year-old, I look back and I see that OJ show, or the OJ Made in America, which is a fantastic documentary, a good 10 hours worth of documentary made by ESPN. And I watch these things and I'm like glued to the TV, and I'm like, no wonder everyone was so interested by it. It's just such a incredible, you know, real life soap opera happening before your eyes. Other stuff on the DVR, Designated Survivor, where Jack Bauer becomes president through a chain of command type of stuff. That one is pretty good, though. It has served its purpose a lot of times as sort of a holdover between seasons of Homeland. Homeland, we'll say another one that's on the DVR on Showtime. You know, the last two seasons of Homeland were a bit maybe too political for me, as they kind of delve into the fake news and hackers and bots and whatnot on social media. But, you know, with the Facebook kind of revelations that came out yesterday, and their head of security or cybersecurity stepping down and revealing some of this information, probably not too far off. So I enjoy Homeland. The first three seasons particularly are fantastic. Another one is The Chi. I have The Chi, which is a new Showtime show. They just had their season finale on this past Sunday. Maybe 10 episodes in the first season. Really, really good show, set in inner city Chicago, with sort of these four or five different storylines or of separate people sort of getting interwoven at these different points. Great acting, really, really good show, The Chi. So definitely that would be of new shows what I would highly recommend to check out. Then I think the only other stuff I got on there, I had the OJ, The Lost Confessions OJ one, because like I said, anything OJ at this point, I'm watching it. And I mean, the thing that's crazy about OJ is watching him in this confessions thing, which was sort of like unreleased footage from an interview he was doing around the time he was going to release that book, the If I Did It book, and then it sort of got blocked because of a lawsuit and so on and so forth, was that he loses himself in these stories as he tells, you know, what he's saying. Well, this is a hypothetical. And then he gets lost in his own lie during it, and, you know, just it starts talking about, well, then I did this, and it looked like this. And then I, you know, he just admits to everything that everyone knows that he already did. But, yeah, that one was on the DVR for this past week. I think the other ones I have are Modern Family on the DVR, always good for a laugh. I still have Fresh Off the Boat on my DVR, which the first couple seasons were pretty funny. This last one is like kind of shitty. Maybe because I grew up in Irvine, I went to a high school, about a 50% Asian high school, incredibly high achieving academic school that I can relate a little bit. At least I knew a lot of people who had this incredibly, you know, overbearing, helicopter, push you really hard Asian parents, and I find some amount of humor in that. So Fresh Off the Boat's a pretty funny one. But yeah, I think that's pretty much the whole DVR, the stuff that I watch. Coming up, I know about to start the new season next week, and their last season, The Americans. The Americans, really, really good one about, yeah, these deepest, deep cover Russian spies posing as Americans and their neighbors with an FBI agent, and it's really good. Felicity is in it, Kerry Russell. You know, you have, if you kind of grew up the same time as I did and were like a teenager in the late 90s, early 2000s, you have this. And a kid in the early 90s, this picture of Kerry Russell as Mickey Mouse Club and Kirk Cameron's girlfriend on Growing Pains, and then and Felicity and this very wholesome thing. And the Americans, she's just banging all kinds of people, in the name of espionage for Mother Russia. But that's a really good show if you haven't watched that, The Americans. So that'll be on the DVR next week. Yeah, beyond that, I think I've probably seen every episode of The Office like nine times. They just took it off Netflix. How I Met Your Mother, that was a good one. Saved by the Bell, classic. If you're not living your life by the mantra of what would Zach Morris do, you're definitely not developing the type of schemes that you could be, and getting into the sort of shenanigans that you should be. So you can go back and find those all somewhere. I think Saved by the Bell is all on Hulu. So those were really my favorites. Arrested Development and Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad was one that I think I'd seen about half an episode while it was actually on TV. And a lot of times when I'm working, and most of my work on the computer, whether emailing people, online coaching stuff, social media, doing all that, I always have something on in the background, whether it's music or a documentary or movies or whatever. But with TV shows, I usually found like I needed to have comedies on, little 30-minute comedies, get a laugh here and there, kind of catch a little bit of it, even if it's shows like The Office that I've seen so many times, or Parks and Rec, Arrested Development. I could catch 30 seconds of it, get a laugh, go back to my work, and so on. But I couldn't emotionally commit to dramas, and I didn't feel like I could emotionally commit to Breaking Bad. And then I think it was when I wrote Juggernaut Football Manual, I worked from like 6 a.m. to 6, 7 p.m. on it for 7 days straight, and writing all of it because of, we had to get it out. That's one thing about being, self-employed, entrepreneur type of person, is there's no real deadlines on things. There's only deadlines if you actually, want to be able to pay your bills and eat and all that stuff and make any money. So I had procrastinated on my own self-imposed deadline for that book, and then had to hammer the last bit of it out in the last week. And then as soon as I finished it, I was like, okay, nothing to do, Breaking Bad. Watch all 6 seasons in 8 days, something like that. And now I'm kind of in that same boat with Game of Thrones. As Marissa can attest, I'm very bad at staying awake. Every night I put a show on TV or on my computer or something, and I fall asleep while I'm watching it because the kind of background noise from the show will block out my own busy mind and thoughts and everything. I know it's not good for sleep patterns and circadian rhythms and all that shit to have something playing in a light, 5 feet away from my head or 3 feet away from my head, but it's what I do, and I sleep better that way. And I've been trying to get through Game of Thrones, so I'm about halfway into season 3 now, but I have fallen asleep in quite a few of the episodes. But it's a pretty good one, so I'm sure I'll end up binging all the rest of that before too long, and before season 8 finally starts in a year and a half or something. They're really taking their sweet time with that one. But that's what's on my DVR. That was Australia. We really enjoyed the trip out there. We love it. Let's see, how long have I been talking for? I feel like this mic thing should tell me better how long I've been talking for. So I've been having an internal debate about whether it's worth the hassle to dive into this next topic, but we're 3/4 of a triple IPA in, so what the hell, we might as well go for it. I guess, if this next part was going to be sponsored by a lifestyle brand, it would be Empowerment and Entitlement. It's a lifestyle. So, if you follow a powerlifter, USAPL lifter named Chelsea Savitt, she had made a post this past week, kind of being critical of Barbell Brigade in this Lux campaign, their female empowerment type of thing. So the complaint was about a lack of size diversity among the women featured in it. And, you know, we had a couple of our Juggernaut athletes in there, as well as just a lot of friends. And, you know, it's not to say that I don't take issue with what they're doing with the campaign necessarily, but where I would take issue with it is that I think the idea of empowerment and then, like, you know, let's write this inspirational, motivational message and then, like, oh, by the way, this apparel line releases next week. That's more where I would take issue of it is motivation, inspirational stuff to me is already so cheap and so hollow. You know, let's not pretend that we're championing a social cause only to sell, you know, sports bras and tights at the end of it. If you want to sell clothes, that's great. Sell clothes. More power to you. If you want to do the empowerment type of thing and really work that angle, I feel like maybe you should be giving, you know, some of the proceeds from these clothing sales to a charity or something like that. But where I get frustrated with people like Chelsea and this, I've seen this with so many different situations, is people saying, well, they're not being inclusive, they're not empowering all women, they're not representing everything. So let me start this part of things off by saying, you know, I have every privilege basically that there is to have. You know, white Christian male who grew up in an affluent family. I went to private school for a while and did all that stuff. So I'll go ahead and acknowledge all of that. I can't relate to this. I can't empathize to this. Whatever you want to say, go ahead. Is that in the world of political correctness and social media and where everyone has a voice and an opinion, the issue I take with what Chelsea said about Barbell Brigade not, you know, representing size diversity and that they're not really trying to empower women with it or not trying to empower all women and the host of comments that were made on our post about this was that it is not private business's job to do what you want them to do. And people will say, well, Chad, you know, I look at the Juggernaut videos and everything, and it's just all these, like, lean, hot lifting girls. Okay, that's my choice. It's my choice of who I put in them. One, Juggernaut is not about female empowerment or anything else necessarily. It's not about any type of political or social cause. It's about teaching you how to lift pieces of metal attached to another piece of metal better. We're about lifting techniques and nutrition and mobility and maybe trying to empower people, you know, from a knowledge standpoint, but we're not about a social cause in any stretch, and we're certainly not about motivation and inspiration and all that bullshit, because that's just cheap. That's a topic for another day, maybe. But, you know, what we're not about is doing what everyone tells us we should do, and no private company should be about that, because it is not a private company's job to represent what you want to be represented. It's their job to represent what they want to represent. If you do not agree with that, what they're representing, then don't buy what they're selling. That's fine. That's where your vote is. That's the power of your dollar. But don't go out and say, you know, they're not doing it right because they don't do it the way that I like. You know, because they didn't have any, you know, heavier set girls in it, they're saying, well, that's not size diversity. You know, one, you don't know who they asked to be in it, because they asked Marissa to be in it, who's obviously not heavier, but, you know, is 41 years old, could give age diversity, is Latina, you know, and she couldn't be there because we were in Australia. So you can't assume exactly their optimal goal, you know, photo shoot would have been. But if all they did was put white blonde women in it, which they didn't by any means, you know, they had a lot of ethnic diversity in it. That's their own prerogative. And if you don't want to buy it, don't buy it. And that's fine. But we could do the same thing and look at, you know, at everyone's different campaigns and say that they're lacking in some way or another, or they're not, you know, fulfilling every single demographic that could be represented, because, well, frankly, this no photo shoot's going to probably have like 100 fucking different people in it. So someone's going to get left out. And sometimes you're going to be the person, you know, your group, the one that you want represented, is going to be left out. So what you can do is you can represent for them yourselves. And, you know, the first time I took issue with something I saw Chelsea post to this effect was a Power Magazine thing that showcased a Juggernaut athlete, Eva Januszkiewicz, and it was saying how, you know, why isn't the representation just based on merit, and I took issue with that because Eva's a great lifter as well, and particularly at the time, I think this was about 2 years ago, the two of them would have had almost identical Wilks, so it's like, you know, if it's six one way, half dozen or the other, I know which one they're going to pick. And since then, I commend Chelsea in that she has created her own brand to showcase what she wants to be showcased. She created Beef Puff Barbell to showcase, you know, Beef Puffs, bigger lifting girls, and create representation for that. And that's great. And that's fantastic. And I would encourage more people, if they take issue with what they see in mainstream fitness social media stuff, that they don't feel they're being represented, then create it for yourself, because it's right there at your fingertips, whether it's through YouTube or Instagram or whatever, to create what you want to create. But don't think that, you know, don't play the victim and say, well, this company, you know, isn't representing what I want to see, because that's not their job. You know, I could look through Beef Puff Barbell stuff and say, well, you know, I haven't seen any pictures of Latina women on there. I haven't seen any pictures or videos of women in their 40s on there. And people can criticize Juggernaut for this kind of stuff all they want. Do we have diversity, ethnic diversity? Definitely. We have, you know, white, black, Latina, Asian. Do we have age diversity? Definitely. We have girls in their 20s, 30s, 40s, late 40s, mothers on there. You know, Joanne, Ada, Marissa both have kids. Like, that's diversity that I don't see being represented by very few, many companies at all, as women in their 40s. You know, so to get on a company about, well, you don't have the diversity that I like, you know, that I want to see. Well, at the same time, someone could look at your company and say, well, you don't have diversity in these very simple areas, you know, Latina, that's a big area. You know, older women, 40 plus women who are in the sport, who are frankly fucking dominating the sport of powerlifting in the IPF, just in Marissa's weight class, you know, her, Liz Craven, Olga, and Susie, four of the top five women in the world. You know, we can put Jen Thompson on with that. You know, even Kim Walford, now a masters lifter. Jen Milliken has a couple kids that they aren't being represented there. But it's not the point. That's not the point of me trying to say, well, you guys aren't representing this, so why complain about that? The point is, don't complain about fucking any of it, because it's not the private company's job to put out what you want to put out. It's your job as a consumer to support it or not to support it. Yeah, I guess you can go on Instagram and fucking complain about it too, but you're almost there to doing what you should be doing, which is creating your own brand to showcase whatever you'd like. Do you think that people, you know, that I was getting a bunch of supplement company offers and they're like, oh, Chad is so lean and everything, that's great, let's put him on a fucking magazine ad. No, of course not. Did I complain about it? No, I just made my own company instead. And yes, I understand that super heavyweight male lifters, that's more socially acceptable or whatever than it is on the female side. But you really have three ways to distinguish yourself, you know, in the fitness world. You can be really good looking and lean, and there's maybe a lot of genetic luck involved in that, but also some work. You can be really fucking strong, you know. That's great. A meritocracy. Weightlifting and powerlifting are such simple sports in that they could be a pure meritocracy, you know, and we could go through the rankings of that. And if we were to have a photo shoot of the top 10, you know, IPF or USAPL women's lifters, to see who would be represented in that, you know, different groups, different, you know, ethnic groups, different size diversity, age diversity, we would get down to 9 and 10, you know, out of 10 before the size diversity was really going to be represented. Or you can be a great presenter of knowledge. So because I knew, I mean, obviously, yes, I'm fantastic looking, but the lean part, not so much. I knew that wasn't going to be the route that I went. So I figured, well, I better get pretty fucking strong. 23, 25 total. And I better be a great presenter of information if I'm going to make a mark in this industry where I choose to do so. So that's kind of my real takeaway from that. And I was driving today listening to the Bill Simmons podcast, and he had Michael and Martellus Bennett on there. You know, you can say what you want of their politics and everything like that, but they are very outspoken. They're very, you know, there to speak their mind and are about their causes, and they're all in on that. And that certainly should be commended, whether you agree with it or not, that they're using their platform to advance their causes. And they talked about, I don't remember which one, Michael or Martellus has a company called Imagination Agency, which is his own, you know, production company. And he was talking about, you know, wanting to create media that his daughter and her, you know, friends and peers and everything can look at as they're growing up and see kids that look like them. And I commend them for that, because could they just sit on the sideline and complain, well, why aren't more movies, you know, featuring black characters and you know, stuff like Black Panther, why isn't that more prevalent? Or he could do what he's done and gone out and created it for himself, and that's fantastic, and I commend them for that. Chelsea, with something like Beef Puff Barbell, has that opportunity to do that for herself, and I encourage her to do that, to advance the cause and feature the people that you want to on the platforms that you have the ability to do that for, and not complain about other companies not doing it the way that you want, because it's not their fucking job. And to become more prominent and more featured, you know, control what you can control in those three areas. I've been featured in Muscle and Fitness and Power Magazine and, you know, on different podcasts and all this stuff. And it wasn't because I had a great set of abs, you know. And yes, I know there's female privileges and biases and all this shit, but I was featured there more because I lifted a shitload of weights and created a name for myself as an educator and a presenter of information. So I would encourage you to do the same. This was the fourth episode of Beers with Chad, special bonus to the Jug Life, trying to do them every Wednesday night and then release the audio version on Thursday morning. Subscribe to the Jug Life and Beers with Chad, same thing, Jug Life podcast. iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio app. You can find it on all of those places. Give us a 5-star review, write something funny or nice. This weekend, Max and I will be in New York at JDI Barbell on Friday night at 7:30 p.m. for a Jug Life Live. First a free snatch clinic and then Jug Life Live event. Jug Life Live is really just an extension of the clinic. So we're going to work on some snatch technique in the clinic, and then in the Jug Life Live episode, we'll talk a little bit more about programming for the snatch and take your questions. There'll be kegs. We'll just kind of hang out and have a good time. It's a fun event. Then we'll be at Outlift Athletics on Long Island Saturday at 3 p.m. for a free squat clinic and then another Jug Life Live. We're also going to be recording a bunch of other podcasts while we're out there. Zach Evanesh, Joe DeFranco, two of the people who are most influential to me when I began Juggernaut, as well as Cameron Jossi and Mike Guadango. So we're recording a bunch of stuff while we're out there. Maybe Kim Walford as well, if Kim can find some time to squeeze us in there. So come check those out. Friday, April 13th, Jug Life Live in Oakland, California. We'll be getting hyphy at Max's Gym in Emeryville, the very creatively named Max's Gym. And yeah, that's about it. If you're interested in online coaching, juggernautcoaching.com. Follow me on Instagram, subscribe to our YouTube, all that good stuff. Cheers. Thanks for watching.